Om Shanti. And a very warm welcome to the morning of your last day here. So, do you feel like leaving?
No.
You don't. So, the topic of the class today is karma. Who has heard this word karma before? You have. Good. Anyone who has never heard the word karma before and has no idea what karma is? Okay, good. Then the lesson is over. Okay, so we'll have a 45-minute lesson, and I'll give you a little bit of time for question and answers. So I'll start with, what is karma? Karma actually comes from the Sanskrit word karam. Karam means action. So when we say the law of karma, what we are really talking about is the law of action. What is action? Again, many people think that action is what I do. But whenever energy moves, it is action. And what do I mean by that? Action is not just a physical movement, physical action. Action also goes a little bit more subtle. Action connects to what I speak. Action connects to what I think. Because a thought is also an action of the mind. Agree? Yeah? What I think is what I feel. So my feelings are also a form of energy movement, a form of action. Subtle, but it's there. So the law of karma means that everything that I send out as a form of energy will go around and come back to me. That's why many people call it the law of action and reaction. So for me, the law of karma is something that talks very much about myself, my past, my future, and explains why I am going through what I am going through. So each one of us, if you can imagine, have a bank account, a spiritual bank account, where you have credits and you have debits. And these credits and debits are very personalized, are very contained to me. So karma is my own relationship with what I have done. Some people say, can you pass your karma from parent to child? And can somebody take some of my karma away? But it doesn't work that way. Karma is about my own relationship with what I have done. So I also like to describe karma in three different words, using three different words. The first one is, karma is the law of consequence. If anyone is a mother or father here, I'm sure you've told your children many times, if you do this, this will be the consequence. You know, if you study, you will do well. If you don't study, you will fail your exam, right? If you eat too much ice cream, you will get sick, right? You say that, don't we? It's a common way of speaking. And this is really teaching the law of karma. So the first word I like to use when I think of karma is that karma means there is a consequence for everything I think, I feel, I speak, I do. The second law about karma, or the second word, sorry, I like to use when I think of karma, is the word balance. And it's also related with the word justice. Because the law of karma is very fair. It's very just. The law of karma doesn't have favorites. You can't bribe the law of karma. I'll do this, but you know you don't. There's no corruption involved in the law of karma. It's a very fair law. It's a very just law. And actually what the law of karma always does is it brings me back to a place of balance. It brings things in my life back to balance. So consequence, balance. And the third way I often describe the law of karma, or the third word that comes to me when I'm thinking of the word karma, is the word responsibility. Karma is the law of personal responsibility. And the wonderful thing about this word responsibility, have you broken it up ever in English? I'm sure it's a different word in Arabic. But in English we say it is the ability to respond. So responsibility means I have the choice of how I respond. And if there is anything that is holding me back from taking that choice, you know, what is it that stops me from being who I want to be, of reacting or responding how I want to react, is only my old programming. My old programming. What we sometimes call my old sanskars, that's one word that we use, or maybe we use the word my old personality. So if there's anything that's stopping me from responding in the way I want, and for being completely responsible for my life, it's just the old me. So for example, somebody upsets me. I want to remain peaceful. Well, who's stopping you from being peaceful? It's just the old you, your old habits, your old personality, your old programming. It's not about them. It's about me. So the law of karma is really completely about me and me. Sometimes we say, I have karma with this person. But actually that person is just there to show you what is going on inside you. Isn't it? Yeah? So the law of karma is a beautiful law in understanding what's happening to me at the present moment in my life. The law of karma says that everything that you have done in your past will manifest in your present. And whatever you do today will manifest in your future. So you see how the law of balance, what you did in your past, will be balanced out. And what you do today, the law of responsibility, if you're responsible today, you will get what you want in the future. And so how does meditation connect with karma? Well, whenever you ask someone, what do you want in your future? It always comes back to three words. Love, peace, happiness. True? Yeah? Or something that's connected with these three. So, if you want that in your future, what does the law of karma then imply? What does it mean? That I need to start to do that investment. I need to start to create that now so that I get the return of that in my future. If I create positive thoughts now, my mind will work positively in the future. If I invest in good relationships now, in the future, those relationships will give me a lot of happiness. So you see, this is the law of responsibility. So the law of karma is a beautiful way of actually understanding life and realizing that nothing happens without a reason. Everything comes to teach us a lesson. Everything comes for growth and learning. But I need to be prepared to make changes in my life to create that growth and learning. If I face a difficulty and I understand, okay, this has come for growth and learning, but then I keep repeating the same actions, will there be growth and learning? No. If I keep repeating the same thoughts, will there be learning? No. So the law of karma is a law that inspires me to create change, positive change in my life. It's almost like the law of karma opens doors for me to understand and create positive change. So when we look at each one of us having, you know, positive and negative credits and debits in our bank account, in our spiritual bank account, one of the things with the law of karma is many times we remember the law of karma when we go through difficulties. Oh, it's my karma. What did I do, you know? But I look at all of you, and I think in my heart, what a wonderful law of karma. What a wonderful balance, you know, what credits that you have, that today we sit here from how many countries as spiritual students. What is it that we don't have in our lives today? You have a comfortable bed, simple but comfortable. We have running water. You know, we have wonderful food. Look at the company we have. Most importantly, we have the intention of becoming better people. How many people in the world would take 6 days out of their life to come to such a place? So how high, how blessed is your karma, isn't it? So the law of karma is not something that we think about when we go through difficulties and you go, you know, very much not. If you look at your life in totality, yes, there would have been some lessons. Yes, there would have been some difficulties. But look at all the positive side and how much you have in your life today, which is the result of the past good karma that you have created. So the law of karma, often also spoken about as you sow, so you shall reap. It's very clear, isn't it? If you plant a little apple seed, what will you get? You plant a big mango seed? Can you plant an apple seed and say, I want mangoes? Well, you can say it. And what will happen? You'll be very disappointed. So the law of karma helps me to deeply understand the quality of seeds I sow. And I think sometimes the law of karma actually helps us to change old belief systems that we may have even been taught in our families, in our cultures. You know, 20 years ago, if somebody did something bad to me, somebody spoke badly to me, I learned from my family, you avoid them, ignore them. And that's what I would have done. Today, someone says something bad to me, I think in my heart, it's okay. They must be having a bad day. let me hold good wishes for them. Or I think, well, maybe that's a habit they have. It doesn't really matter. They'll work through it in their own time. Why should I think bad of them? So you see how when you start to understand that the law of karma goes back to the law of my choice to respond in a positive way, in the way I wish to, it only does good to me. And ultimately, if I'm good, it will actually influence others. So I'm going to go back to those three things connected to the law of karma again and again in this class. The first is, it's the law of consequence. Yes, it is the law of action, very good. But the three words we talked about, it's the law of consequence, it's the law of balance, it's the law of responsibility. That's right. Yes. So now let's look at some areas where we have, it's a very broad categorization, where we have created karma in our own little world. And maybe as I speak about it, you can think and reflect in your personal life. Is this where I could create some change and create a better result in my life? And some of the areas might be where you go a big tick mark. Yes, I'm doing very well here. Okay. So the first area that we broadly create karma in is the karma I create with my mind. So the mind produces thoughts and thoughts create feelings. So the question to ask is, how do I use my mind? Do I treat my mind like a flower garden and I plant good seeds of positive, pure thoughts every day? Is that how I use my mind? Because if I do, then whenever I'm faced with a problem, what will I see in my mind? What will my mind give me back? Positive thoughts, pure thoughts, happy thoughts. Or do I use my mind like a rubbish bin and I just throw rubbish in it every day? Reactions against situations, negative thoughts about people, wasteful thoughts about the past. I don't know if you do this sometimes, where something happened 10 years ago and you think about it constantly. You must have thought about it a million times in the last 10 years. Anyone like that? You don't need to put your hand up. Huh? But you know, this is called waste thoughts. Something happened and I can't let go. And it's influencing my mind and my thoughts again and again and again. Imagine the energy. Remember we talked about karma being the law of action, energy. The movement of energy in my mind, so negative. What does it make my mind? A rubbish bin. So who created the rubbish bin? So the first area where we create karma is with our own mind, our own selves. So you can just think about, you know, how do I use my mind? Do I use it in a responsible way? Do I always put good thoughts, clean thoughts, pure thoughts, positive thoughts as a response to whatever is happening? And if I don't understand somebody and their behavior, at least I can say, it's okay, I don't understand why they did that. But at least there's no negativity. So is my mind a flower garden or is my mind a rubbish bin? And how does that impact on the law of karma? Well, whatever you've treated your mind as in the past, that's what you're seeing today. So usually, you know, when we have some difficult situation and we blame someone for creating negativity in me, now once we understand in meditation that I create my thoughts, I can't blame someone and say, you made me angry. Does anyone make you angry? No. It's my choice. And as we said before, sometimes I don't have the choice because I've created a very heavy habit, a strong habit. But actually, I always have a choice. So once we understand this law of karma, we know that the habits I create today in the way I think, therefore the way I feel, are going to be what come to me naturally in the future. So if you want to have responses, thoughts and feelings that are naturally easy, positive, pure, what you need to do today? Create a flower garden in your mind. Use every morning as a time to plant seeds of positivity, of goodness, towards yourself, towards others, and towards the world. So this is broadly the first area where I create karma, me and my mind. The second area that we create karma with is the body. So the body is my car. I, the soul, am sitting in the body. This body is given to me to create positive actions, to do good in my life. So if I have a good thought, I do a good action through my body. But the body has some requirements. You know, the body is made of matter, and the body needs that matter to be looked after very well. So enough sleep, clean food, not just food, clean, healthy food. When you say food, it could be chips and chocolate all day. That's not good for the body. So clean, healthy food. The body needs enough exercise. You know, when you're young, you don't realize it. But as you grow older, you realize your muscles need to be kept well, in good order. The body also needs lots of water, something that we forget about. If we say clean food, we also need clean water, good amount of water. The body also needs something that we often forget about, which is being very acknowledged in the medical industry now. The body needs good energy from the soul. If you live your life worried, anxious, angry, what's happening to that energy inside you? It goes through your body and it often gets trapped somewhere. I'm not an expert in this, but there are some people who say the energy of anger gets trapped in this organ, the energy of worry gets trapped in that organ. I can only tell you my own personal experience, which is when I'm anxious, my stomach. Some people feel it in their heart, palpitations, you know. So this particular way of keeping the body healthy through good thoughts, through calm in my mind, is so directly linked with meditation. Not only have I trained the mind to work well, but I'm actually giving my body support. You know, the power of meditation, the power of prayer when you're sick. Have you noticed? You know, some people get better from situations where the body is completely collapsed. How do they do it? The power of holding very pure energy in my mind and using it to heal the body. I know in Abu Dhabi, many doctors send their patients to inner space now. Because the patient goes to the doctor thinking the problem is physical. But the doctor knows the problem is more mental. And so we call it psychosomatic, the psyche, the mind, affecting the soma, the body. So remember, food, water, exercise, good sleep, and very clean energy from the mind. And this is what creates good karma with your own body. And if you think about when you get sick, usually, it's because one of these have been in imbalance. If you're stressed and you're pushing your body for a long time, your immunity drops, you fall sick. If you're dehydrated because you're so busy and you don't remember you have to drink water, you get sick. Go to a big wedding where you're eating heavy food day after day after day after day, You all know what happens? You come back and you feel like, I just want to detox, right? The body is heavy and you can fall sick because of that. So it's a very scientific understanding, the law of karma. Yeah. So the third area of karma, which is one that we're all very interested in, is the karma in my personal relationships. Soul to soul karma. One of the happiest lives is a life where I have good relationships. You may not have a lot of money, you may not have a lot of resources, but if you've got good friends and family, you can be the happiest person on earth. And you can have all the money you want and all the resources, and if you don't have friends and good family and good relationships, you have nothing. But what we see in today's world is many relationships are broken. Many relationships are not working well. Why? Because what I've invested in the relationship is the wrong energy. What is wrong energy in relationships? So when two souls come together, you come together for only two things. I think Sister Genty might have used these two words. You either come into contact with someone to give, or you come into contact with them to take. So the question to ask yourself is, are my relationships in my life because I want from them? What's another word for wanting? I expect from them? Or am I entering into a relationship to support, to give, to exchange? So when people get married these days, you know, sometimes I hear conversations in Abu Dhabi and they say, well, I want a good-looking guy. And I want a guy who has lots of money. Yeah, see, everyone knows that. And probably also position, you know, good job, good family, good name. So what kind of relationship is that? Completely taking. I want you to be like this, like this, like this. And on top of that, he should have good character. You know, he should respect me. He should be funny, you know. So complete expectation. And what happens usually when we enter a relationship with such high expectations? We get very disappointed. This is the law of karma. If you are trying to take from a world or from a person who cannot give you that much, obviously you will be disappointed. When you look around people in the world today, you look around souls in the world today, would you say they are full battery? Or would you say they are kind of depleted batteries? Look at your own family. And this is not a criticism or anything, but you see how people are. No one is a full battery. And imagine if we load so much expectation on them. You are my mother, you should behave like this. You are my husband, you should behave like this. You are my child, you should behave like this. Huh? So you're telling a weak battery, I want you to behave like a strong battery. What will you get? Disappointment, sadness, sorrow, anger. So this approach where I actually want someone to be the way I want them to be, this approach where I actually label people in my life with different roles, you know, you should perform the role of my boss properly, you should perform the role of my mother properly, you should perform, you know, I've created an image of what you should be and you must live up to my expectations. Broadly, we call this body consciousness. I'm labeling you as a body, putting expectations on you. I put a role on you. You have to perform. So you can see now why relationships have got broken. So what does the law of karma say in a positive way? If I see someone as a soul, if I respect their journey, and we all have different journeys, don't we? You know, even in your own family, do you all think the same? Do you all respond the same? No. Everyone has had their own journey. So if I see them with the eyes of soul consciousness, the eyes of understanding, the vision of respect, I respect your journey, it's different to mine. What happens? I start to accept people. I don't judge them. I don't criticize them. And relations start to heal. They start to be repaired. And really, I can tell you from my own experience, I don't know the journeys of the people who are closest to me in my life. My friends, my family, I don't know what they think all the time, how they process life. So when I start to accept that they are how they are, my own energy towards them is so different. So you can do a little reflection on your own life and how you approach relationships, you know. Imagine two people who come together wanting from each other. Can you imagine two vacuum cleaners coming together? You know, what would happen? Interesting, isn't it? We'll come to questions later. Yeah? We'll just finish and then there'll be time for questions. You can write it down. Yeah. So, if I want to create positive relationships, soul conscious vision, understanding the journey, acceptance, and finally we come to a place of love and mercy. Soul conscious vision, understanding the journey, acceptance, finally, feelings of love and mercy. That even if someone is doing something wrong, I don't criticize, I don't judge, I don't react. Love and mercy. It doesn't mean that you don't talk about it with them, you can mention to them, you know what's going on, but again, soul consciousness means I understand, I accept, and I have feelings of love and mercy. Whereas the other side, as we discussed, was if I have a body conscious vision, which means you are this, you are that, you know, I have expectation. There's no understanding, is there? So I don't care, you know, if you're my mother and you were hurt by your mother. No, no, you should do this, right? There's so much expectation. And then my feelings become quite critical, quite judgmental when people are not the way I want them to be. So this is the third area where I create karma. It's a big area. The fourth area where we all have created karma, and maybe you know more about it than me, is the environment. You may have seen in the last few years that there's a lot more reaction from nature towards what we are doing. I think in the last 3 years people are saying that there have been more changes in climate. You know, the winters are becoming warmer or the winters are becoming extremely cold. Summers are becoming extremely hot or you have no summer. So the weather patterns are changing. In many places that means that you're getting more floods. Other places you're getting droughts. In some places, more movement of the earth, again, because we have created a lot more drilling and a lot more, you know, mining and those sorts of activities. So generally, we have polluted and abused nature. So what will you get back? We get back disease. We get back a lot of unpredictable behavior from nature. You know, when we have all these climate change conferences, etc. I mean, who created the mess with nature? We did. So who has to rectify it? And unfortunately, now our way of life has become so dependent on abuse of nature, you know, that we can't even imagine a life of simplicity.
Can you give me room, the environment, and
Yeah, so because of our lifestyle, I would say, which includes our thinking and our energy, you know, and our, of course, the way we've treated nature, now we are seeing the repercussions, the consequences of that. Remember the law of consequence? And actually what nature is trying to do is it's trying to balance all of this out. So that's why many people who are in that field of work are trying to tell people, you know, don't abuse nature, and even in your personal world, even in your day-to-day life, as much as possible. And what are the small things we can do to create good karma with nature? The first thing I would say is don't waste food. For something to come to your table, a vegetable, for example, do you know how much it takes to grow it? How much water, you know, how much of someone's time. And then, you know, we buy too much, we throw half of it away. We cook too much, we throw it in the bin. So don't waste food. At the same time, don't waste water. My husband is an expert in water management and wastewater management. And for the last 30 years since I've been married, I've been hearing from him, put the tap off when you brush your teeth. You put the tap on, brush your teeth for 5 minutes, water is running. You know, if there's extra water for some reason that you washed vegetables in, put it on a plant. Don't throw it down, into the sink. So small things you can do. And anyone who has lived in a country where there is drought and you've had a time when you're not sure if there will be water, we learn how to save every drop. So don't waste food, don't waste water. Share your car with people. And I learned this from the seniors in our organization. Many times I would see our seniors going for a trip in a car, and she'd always, one of them particularly, would say to me, who else can come with me? If I'm going to burn this much fuel, let me take people with me. But we now live a life where it's one person and one car, if not one person and three cars. You know, what are we doing to the atmosphere? Do you realize how much we're polluting the earth just by doing that? And I have to add here, in terms of our relationship with nature, maybe it's time to reflect on what you eat as well. Because a lot of the climate change gases and, you know, carbon emissions come from the meat and dairy industry. And if you look at the diet you have today, look at the diet of your grandmother. Look at the diet going further back. People lived a simpler life with much simpler ingredients. And these days we confuse our stomachs with the amount of things we put in it. Now, I'm not saying that I don't respect the hospitality, and I'm very appreciative of the hospitality here. But simple meals can do a lot for helping nature to restore itself. We don't need to have 10 vegetables on the table. It actually makes more confusion inside your tummy, yeah? And also to consider the quality of the food that you're eating. You know, most yogis understand that the food you eat influences your mind. I think most cultures have this concept. You are what you eat. Isn't it? So, you know, in Hindi they say, as is your food, so will be your mind. So most of us yogis choose a vegetarian lifestyle, a life with less processed food, less cans, less packaged food, you know, things that are made with ingredients you know, rather than big industries giving you the leftover oil and the leftover ingredients from, you know, cheap quality. So respect your body, respect nature. The fifth area of karma is what I do with my resources in my life. I think the Arabic word is mumtalakat, yeah? Resources. Yeah? So everything, not just money. Whatever you have which is extra in your life, how do you use it? You have extra clothes. Do you need to have a cupboard full of 50 dresses? Really? Do you need to have 50 pairs of shoes? And then we talk about people in some countries they don't have, and you look at your cupboard. If you took 40 of those and gave it, if each one of us did that, the whole world would have enough. Money is a big one. And I have to say that we are all so fortunate in this room to have enough, more than enough. You agree? What do you do with the extra money you have? Do you plan your next holiday? Or do you think of those who... Or the law of karma would say, do you think of those who don't have? And what you can do to support them? Think of investing your money in an area where you can support your community, where you can support another community on this earth. This is good karma. And I see people who invest their money in the stock markets, you know, their heart goes up and the heartbeat goes up and down every day now because things are changing so quickly. Investment markets, etc., you know. Why not invest where your heart will be at peace? That I did something right. I did something good. If you own 4 houses, okay, get rent from 2, live in 1, give 1 to people who are poor. Give it to people who can make good use of it. Do you really need the investment from 3 houses, the rent of 3 houses? Can you not use it for something good? So clothes, shoes, extra food, if you have a farm. Even if you're a farmer, get benefit from 90%, 10%, give it away. And the more you give, the more you make space in your life to get. This is also the law of karma. So I'm going back to the 3 meanings of karma. The law of consequence, the law of balance, and the law of responsibility. It is each one of our responsibility to look after others. And the more you look after people you don't know, the more higher your karma is. So the karma of looking after my children, good karma, it's good. It's good that you're a good mother and father, but it's very limited. You look after your family, okay, also good. It's good that you care for your uncles and aunts. You look after people from your community, your country, your religion, your profession, also good. I can't say it's not good. But when you care for people you don't even know, when you give that towards somebody who will benefit and will give you their good wishes, their blessings, you don't even know who they are, that is the highest karma. That is the highest karma. So when you move out of your immediate comfort zone and you say the whole world is my family, every human being is God's creation, God's child, part of this family, and you care for them, that is the highest karma. And again, karma when it's necessary is different to karma when it's done just because you want to do it. So there's a difficulty in some part of the world, they need, so I send. That's a different karma too. I do it even before there is a need. I do it just as a part of my life. You know, when you hear that there's been a flood or an earthquake and there's relief and aid needed, then suddenly the community get together and we check our shoes and we check our clothes and we say, okay, I can give away these. It's good. But it's not as good as the karma of being proactive and saying, I will do anyway. Does that make sense? Yeah? So I'll go back to the law of karma. Karma with my mind. Karma with my body. Karma with other people, other souls. Karma with the environment. Karma with my resources. These are the 5 areas where we create karma. And remember, ultimately the law of karma says everything comes back to you as a consequence in your life or in someone else's life. Everything. Nothing comes from nothing. Therefore, if I understand it's a consequence, and I treat it as a consequence, I know that it's a settlement, it's a balancing act. There's a balance being created, and that with responsibility, we can create change. We can create the quality of the kind of return that's coming from life to me. Your karma is your personal karma. You cannot ask someone to take away your karma. You can't even ask God to take away your karma. You can use a shortcut. You want to know the shortcut? Yes. You want to clean your karma? Everyone wants to, don't we? So either you settle your karma, in English we say tit for tat. You did, you get back. There's a shortcut method. And the shortcut method is, when I have a very deep connection with God, in my meditation, when I have deep realization of what I've done, when I have deep regret, when I ask for forgiveness, and I forgive myself, and I promise I will not repeat it, and I allow God's light and His energy into my heart, I can clear the karma quicker. If I don't regret and I don't realize and I don't create change, what will happen? That karma comes back to me again and again and again. And then you hear people saying things like, I don't know why this keeps happening to me. I know people who, they leave one job because they don't like their boss. The same person goes into another job. And what do they say? I have a very bad boss again. And then they go to a third job. Again, I have a bad boss. Or someone gets married, divorced, married again. I still don't have a good partner. Divorce again. I still don't have a good partner. It's my luck. What can I do? The law of karma says, no, it's time for me to reflect on me. It's time for me to realize, what am I doing wrong? It's time for me to forgive myself and make promises that I will change in the future. Not for their sake. For whose sake? For my sake. If I become a better person, if my mind is at peace, if my heart is full of love, if my relationships are happy, who gets the benefit of that? The first person is me. Then the world will also benefit. So whatever is happening in the world, whatever is happening in my life, whatever is happening in the lives of others, if I see it as a return of karma or some kind of balancing act, then I see it differently too. If I see it with the eyes of judgment, the eyes of criticism, and the eyes of taking sides. Because even when I say that person in my life is bad, it's like I'm taking my side. I am good. I am perfect. The problem is there. That's why we blame, isn't it? To push the problem, to push the responsibility on someone else. But if I say, well, okay, they are reacting like that with me. Maybe I did something or I said something that upset them. How could I change that? How could I work differently with this person? And then I start to shift the whole energy movement. So I shift the return of karma. So I'd like you all to just take 1 minute now and ask yourself, what would I like to see in my future? What kind of life? What kind of return, karmic return, would I like to see in my life 5 years from now? What do I really want? Who do I want to be like? What do I want to have in my world? How would I like to be spending my time, my resources? And now ask the question, what do I need to do today? What seeds do I need to plant today so that I get the return of that in the future? What changes can I make in my life today? In my thinking, in my feeling, in my words and actions, in my vision of soul consciousness. What can I change to create a better return? Okay. So I might stop there and see if we want to ask any questions or if anyone has a comment. Are you all happy with what I've said? Is it comfortable? All good? Okay. I'm happy to hear that. So now if there's anyone who has anything else you'd like to ask, I'm wondering maybe, yes, we have a microphone, so it's good if you ask on the microphone so everyone can hear. So let's hear from Iman first.
Thanks a lot, first of all, for the amazing lecture. It's very added value and touch my heart and mind. I have a question. Sometimes you know that there is, as you said, the relation is balanced between giving and supporting the other person, like, you know, the background, their environment and everything. And you act positively because this is from your heart. It's not you are acting. This is like your innate nature. But if the people, they said you are like acting like, you know, in a theater. This is not your original.
Acting like?
This is, you are like acting, showing something. You are mask. This is mask. How do you, and then it pains you know, because this is your real nature. How do you react to them? And it's not one person. Well, and you cannot avoid them in a close social circle. Thank you.
Sure. Lovely question. If you are trying, you are naturally good. You're naturally optimistic, naturally positive. But people say that you are acting. And, you know, you're just showing off. Then how do you react to that? Again, there's a saying in English, what other people think of me, or what other people say of me, is none of my business. People will say, if you're bad, they will talk. If you're good, they'll talk. If you're happy, they'll talk. If you're sad, they'll talk. People will keep saying what they need to say, because that's what is in their personality. That's their habit. But let me continue to do what is right by me. You know, when I changed my lifestyle and I stopped sleeping late and going out to parties and I started to sleep earlier, people said, why do you do what you do? You know? And now, if I stay awake a little bit late, people will WhatsApp me, why are you awake so late at night? So people will continue to talk. You know? If I cook my own food at home, they say, why do you do so much effort to cook your own food and all that? If I eat a packet of chips outside, you're not supposed to do that. You know, so the reality is, let me live according to my heart and according to my conscience. And then let people live the way they want to. Yeah? We know you're good, Iman. Yes.
Okay, I have a question about accepting somebody's journey. What if they are self-destructive? So do you still don't judge, just say, okay, that's your journey, go ahead, just, and they're basically slowly killing themselves, or just with...
I think most of us will know somebody in our lives who is self-destructive. It could be on a physical level. You know, some people have physical habits of smoking, drinking, sitting in a place, not doing exercise, eating the wrong food the doctor tells them not to. You know, you're diabetic and you still keep eating sweets and ice cream and you know you're going to kill yourself. Some people are self-destructive in their mind. I'm not good enough, they're depressed, you know, I'm a failure in my life, everyone, you know, rejects me. So there are many forms of self-destruction. And the first thing for me is, I accept that this is the way it is. It just is the way it is. Why things have come to this place, I may not know. But it is what it is. And definitely for someone to have reached such a low place, things must have gone wrong for them. You know, so firstly, I do accept. Then the question is, how can I support such a person? In my own life, I've realized that whenever it comes to human relationships, if I want to help anyone genuinely, not helping them because it's a selfish motive for me, but genuinely I really want to support someone, the first thing I need to do is to become their friend. If somebody feels I'm their friend, I can help them more than if someone feels that I'm their teacher, you know, or their mentor, or their boss, of course. But when I come to the level where they know I love them, no matter what, I will stand by them, no matter what, you can actually influence them more from that space. But for that, you have to be totally non-judgmental. People sometimes say, I love this person, that's why I want them to change. No. You expect from them, that's why you want them to change. If you loved them, you would give them space, time, support, and let them make their own decisions. They belong to God just like you belong to God. And both your journeys will always be different. And in that energy space, you will find you'll be able to help them more. I hope that helps. Anyone else have a question?
Om Shanti.
Oh, is it? Yes, thank you. Yes.
Om Shanti, good morning. And thanks a lot for the great lecture, sister. It was really very good. I would like to put this question in a scenario with an example. I drive a car and I mean the brake fails in the car and I have a situation where five children are in front of me in one side, there is another one child is in the other side and I have no other option other than, I cannot stop the vehicle, I have to kill someone or I have to crash it. So in that situation, my intention is like instead of killing your five children, I go. Hit a one child which is in the other part of the road. So intention is what has to be pure. In this case, like my intention is very pure that I don't want to kill five children, so I killed one. But later I realized that this one child who was playing in the side of the road, I mean, he followed the rule and he was playing inside of the road, wherein the five children were playing on the road, like they were not supposed to play in the main road. So my question is now, is this a good karma or bad karma? Like, my intention was pure not to kill five, I killed one, but yeah. I killed a person who was right and he was playing in the right place where he wanted to play.
Mm. So karma is totally connected with your intention. I'll give you an example. If you have somebody who picks up a gun, points at an enemy and shoots, their karma is different to a child who is playing with his father's gun, who thinks that it's a toy gun, and he picks it up and looks at his dad and pulls the trigger and shoots his father and kills him. In one situation, there was no intention. The child was playing. The other situation is, I willfully want to kill the person. So karma is not just connected with the action. Karma, if you go back to the beginning of the class, is connected with the energy behind the action, which some of us call intention. Intention is the kind of energy. Is it pure energy? Is it impure energy? So pure energy is non-violent energy. It is the energy of creating the best I can for you and for me. Impure energy is the energy that wants to hurt, create chaos, create destruction, you know? Many times we do that, but we do it unintentionally, so the karma is not that bad. So if somebody is trying to save 5 lives, but has to take 1, even then you didn't want to, it's the break that failed. Obviously you've acted the best that you could in that circumstance. And in many countries, if you are taken to court, you know, in that situation, they would check, and they have ways of checking. Did you really run over the child, or did the brake really fail? You know, people know, I don't know much about cars, but there are ways that people can, you know. So karma is very complex, very complex. And it all goes back to the energy with which the action, the word, was, even thought was created. So I think there was somebody here. We have to first go in order. Matthias is, you know, being very good and going in order. Thank you.
Yes. How can I get rid of collective karma? And I will give an example, like what's happening now. I believe in Palestine it's a karma. And is it by meditate only?
So in any part of the world where there is collective suffering, it could be one country, it could be a region that goes through an earthquake, which could be 2-3 countries together. Remember the tsunami? 15 years ago, it affected like 6 or 7 countries, you know? That was also collective karma. What can I do? The first thing is that I don't get affected. Because the minute I get affected, my energy is dropped. It's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. You know, as a meditator of many years, when I see violence, it hurts my heart. But I have to remind myself, Sona, if you are hurt and down, you can do nothing for someone else. So I remember the Supreme. And I remember that the law of karma and He are completely fair. They are just. Whatever happens, He is the Master, He is the Almighty. If I keep my heart with Him, if I keep the soul with Him, and I just send good energy of hope, of love, to anybody who is suffering, anybody, whoever they are, whatever their label, then I've done my best. That is my karma. If all of us in the world did that, everybody, the conflict would stop. But because everybody is connected with their own agendas and their own this and their own that, in a limited way, they're only thinking of this side or that side or these people or that people, we're not thinking of everyone. That's why we're increasing the conflict. It's like a mother with 2 children. If they're fighting, I mean, before you start to ask who is right and who is wrong, stop the fight. You're my children. You both belong to me. I love you both. So I try to keep myself at that level with the Supreme and realize that whatever anyone is doing, whether they believe it's right or wrong, we all belong to one family. We are one family. Who created lines between us? We did. You think when the Supreme looks down, He says, this is India, and this is Sri Lanka, and this is UAE, and this is Kuwait. You think God looks like that? Really? God looks like that? Does He? So who looks like that? We do. Who created the lines on the earth? We did. Who created all the barriers and blockages in my mind and my heart? I did. So who's going to remove them? I did. I have to do it. You see how it works? So just being here from so many countries, so many different backgrounds, and yet we're one family, aren't we? Huh? Did you ever say to someone, you're from that country, I'm from this country? No, we've forgotten countries. We've forgotten male, female. We've forgotten backgrounds. We've forgotten, you know, everything. And when we sit together and we eat and we play, and yesterday's workshop, you look at somebody, who are you looking at? Your brother, your sister. At least we are from one region, mainly. Imagine if we had a retreat from people from the whole world. Even from the countries that you don't like. Could you look at them and say, we are one family? If you can, then you are truly soul conscious. Then you have broken down the blockages in your own heart. Then you can send the energy of healing to the world and love. Doesn't mean that the action is right. If I see one child slapping another, it doesn't mean, yes, just keep slapping. No. But it means that I realize that to heal anything, I first need to put myself in a place of love. Then I create good karma. The karma of healing and the karma of bonding, bringing things back to a place of peace and love. So protect yourself. Protect your heart and your mind from being affected by anything. And if you feel that you're getting affected, really just count 10, 9. Give yourself space. Step back. And ask yourself, you know, how can I become strong, peaceful in this situation before I speak, before I act? Then you'll come from the right space. I have to do it sometimes, you know. I can see something going on around me. And so now, before you WhatsApp and send a reply, just wait. Just wait. Connect with your real self. Connect to God. And ask yourself, what do you really want to create as a result, as a consequence? Balance yourself, then speak. One more question here somewhere, and I think that will have to be our last, I think. Let's see, we have only how many minutes left? 6-7 minutes left. Anyone? Okay, there was somebody here, I think. One last question here? Or it's answered? Just a minute, we just grab the mic so that everyone can hear.
Thank you. I always hear this statement, whatever your parents did in the past, it's going to affect their children. It will be passed on to their children. Sometimes we think that it is unfair. I mean, it is not their fault. So how can you answer this, please? Thank you.
In psychology, they say that in the first 7 years of your life, your entire life is actually created inside. Your first 7 years are a blueprint. You know blueprint? It's like a foundation. That's why in the first 7 years of a child's life, the child's mind is not filtering right, wrong, yes, no. The child is just absorbing everything their parents say. You know? If a mother speaks a certain way, the child will speak the same way. You know, if you have an attitude towards someone, your child will copy you. So the first 7 years of any child's life, including all of us, and what we observed at that time, has already created a blueprint. But it is my karma that took me into that family. It is my karma that took me into that environment. But having said all of that, the reality is here we are today. I have a choice to continue or to create change. And this is the law of responsibility. If I see in myself that there are some effects of my earlier life, my parents, my family, my school, my community, whatever, and I don't see that as being good, I can change it. I can create a new program. If you had a father who was angry and that had an effect on you, you can change it. You can understand and you can create change. Why not? Why do you have to be stuck in the past? And actually, why do we meditate? Why do we learn meditation? Why do we practice meditation? Why do we lead a pure life? To create change, to clean our karma, The beginning and end of all spirituality is to create good karma, isn't it? You know, even people who belong to a religion, why do you do good? To create good karma, isn't it? So ultimately, our whole spiritual journey, our whole journey through life, is to create credits, good karma. In our language, we say soul conscious karma, karma created from a place of unlimited consciousness, pure consciousness, where I can learn to love everyone, accept everyone. So I wouldn't say it's anyone's fault that they're born in this family or not. That doesn't really matter. But the point is, if you see somebody who, and I meet many people who say, my mother was like this, therefore I'm like that, or you know, whatever, I always remind them, today, right now, you have a choice. You want to hold this? You want to make it carry on? Or do you want to let it go? And actually, we don't let it go. That's why the karma continues. Isn't it true? We don't want to let go. We don't want to forgive. If I wanted to forgive everyone, I could forgive them right now. If I wanted to let go any negative feelings towards anyone, I could do it right now. If I wanted to clean my mind and my heart, I can do it right now. Are you ready to do it? Sure. Sure. Forgive and forget. Well, we can go to the party then. Yeah? And then my karma changes because I'm no longer using the old me. So my parting lines for this class is, when you walk away from this retreat, when you go back home, make sure you leave the old you here. Take away a new you. Take back a you that has realized, let go, and transformed. Then you will naturally attract good karma. But it means you need to create new thoughts, new feelings, new responses, new behavior, new attitudes in your life. Okay?